real scientist. Yes, but Alex is dead. It had happened almost 2 years ago, but the memory of that day still scalded me inside. All my life, my father had mocked and belittled me. Alex was his favorite, his firstborn. Father's pride and joy. Alex was being groomed to take over Humphrey's space systems. If and when Father ever decided to retire. Alex was everything that I'm not. Tall, athletic, quick and handsome, brilliantly intelligent, outgoing, charming, and witty. I'm on the small side. I've been sickly from birth. I'm told that I tend to be withdrawn, introspective. My mother died giving birth to me, and my father never let me forget that. I had loved Alex. I truly had. I had admired him tremendously. Ever since I could remember, Alex had protected me against Father's sneers and cutting words. "It's all right, little brother, don't cry," he would tell me. "I won't let him hurt you." Over the years, I learned from Alex a love for exploration, for seeing new vistas, new worlds. But while Alex actually went out on missions to Mars and the Jovian moons, I had to stay cocooned at home. Too frail to venture outward, I flew an armchair, not a spacecraft. My excitement came from streams of computer data and virtual reality simulations. Once I walked with Alex on the red sands of Mars, linked by an interactive VR system. It was the best afternoon of my life. Then Alex was killed on his expedition to Venus. Him and all his crew. And Father hated me for being alive. I left his house for good and bought a home on Mallorca, a place all my own, far from his dismissive sarcasm. As if to mock me, Father moved to Cellini City. Later I found out that he'd gone to the moon so he could take nanotherapies to keep himself young and fit. Nanomachines were outlawed on Earth, of course. It was clear that Father went for rejuvenation treatments because he had no intention of retiring. With Alex dead, Father would never leave Humphrey's space systems to me. He would stay in command and keep me exiled. So, Father lived some 400,000 kilometers away, playing his chosen role of interplanetary tycoon, mega-billionaire, hell-raising, womanizing, ruthless, corrupt giant of industry. I was perfectly content with that. I lived quietly on Mallorca, comfortable with a household staff that took excellent care of me. Some of my servants were human. Most were robots. Friends came to visit, often enough. I could flit over to Paris or New York or wherever for theater or a concert. I spent my days studying the new data about the stars and planets that was constantly streaming back from our space explorers, until one of my friends repeated a rumor she had heard. My brother's spacecraft had been sabotaged. His death was not an accident, it was murder. The very next day, my father summoned me to his moronic birthday party on the moon, under the threat of cutting off my stipend if I didn't show up. Looking up at his youthfully taut face again, I asked my father, "Why did you insist that I come here?" He smiled down sardonically at me. "Aren't you enjoying the party?" "Are you?" I countered. Father made a sound that might have been a suppressed laugh. Then he said, "I have an announcement to make. I wanted you to be on hand to hear it directly from my lips." I felt puzzled. An announcement? Was he going to retire after all? What of it? He would never allow me to run the corporation. Nor did I want to, actually. He touched a stud set into the left armrest of his chair, and the stupefying noise of the party blasted against my ears hard enough to crack my skull. Then he touched the other armrest. The music stopped in mid-beat. The tightrope-walking acrobats winked out like a light snapped off. A holographic image, I realized. The crowd fell silent and still. They all turned toward the dais, like a sullen horde of party-dressed schoolchildren forced to listen to their principal.
"I'm delighted that you could come to my party," Father began, his low, modulated voice amplified and echoing across the crowded chamber. "Are we having fun yet?"
On cue, they all cheered, clapped, whistled, and yelled lustily. Father raised both hands and they all fell silent again.
"I have an announcement to make. Something that you hard-working representatives of the news media out there will find particularly worthwhile, I think. Half a dozen camera-carrying balloons were already hovering a few meters from the dais, floating like glittering Christmas ornaments. Now several more drifted out of the farther reaches of the chamber to focus on my father. "As you know," he went on, "my beloved son Alexander was killed 2 years ago while attempting to explore the planet Venus." A collective sigh swept through the throng. "Somewhere on the surface of that hellhole of a world, his spacecraft lies with his remains inside it. In that terrible heat and pressure, the corrosive atmosphere must be slowly destroying the last mortal remains of my boy." Somewhere a woman broke into soft sobbing. "I want to offer an inducement to someone who is bold enough, tough enough, to go to Venus, reach its surface, and bring back what's left of my son to me." They all seemed to stand up straighter, their eyes widening. An inducement? My father hesitated for a dramatic moment, then said in a much stronger voice, "I offer a prize of $10 billion international dollars to whoever can reach my dead son's body and return his remains to me." They gasped. For several seconds, no one spoke. Then the chamber filled with excited chatter. $10 billion. Reach the surface of Venus. A prize of $10 billion to recover Alex Humphreys's body. I felt just as stunned as any of the others. More perhaps because I knew better than most of those costumed freeloaders what an impossible challenge my father had just offered. Father touched the stud on his chair arm, and the babble of the crowd immediately was cut down to a muted buzz again. "Very nice," I said to him. "You'll be named Father of the Year." He gazed disdainfully down at me.
"You don't think I mean it?"
"I think you know that no one in his right mind is going to try to reach the surface of Venus. Alex himself only planned to coast through the cloud decks."
"So you think I'm a fraud?"
"I think you're making a public relations gesture, nothing more." He shrugged as if it didn't matter. I was seething. He was sitting up there and getting all this publicity.
"You want to look like a grieving father," I shouted at him. "Making the whole world think you care about Alex, offering a prize that you know no one will claim."
"Oh, someone will try for it, I'm certain." He smiled coldly down at me. $10 billion is a lot of incentive."
"I'm not so sure," I said.
"But I am. In fact, I'm going to deposit the whole sum in an escrow account where no one can touch it except the eventual prize winner."
"The entire $10 billion?"
"The whole sum," he repeated.
Then, leaning slightly toward me, he added,
"To raise that much cash, I'm going to have to cut a few corners here and there."
"Really? How much have you spent on this party?" He waved a hand as if that didn't matter.
"One of the corners I'm cutting is your allowance."
"My stipend?"
"It's finished, runt. You'll be 25 years old next month. Your allowance ends on your birthday."
Just like that, I was penniless.
Data Bank. She glows so bright and lovely in the night sky that virtually every culture on Earth has called her after their goddess of beauty and love. Aphrodite, Inanna, Ishtar, Astarte, Venus. Sometimes she is the dazzling evening star, brighter than anything in the sky except the sun and moon. Sometimes she is the beckoning morning star, harbinger of the new day. Always she shines like a precious jewel. As beautiful as Venus appears in our skies, the planet itself is the most hellish place in the solar system. The ground is hot enough to melt aluminum. The air pressure is so high it has crushed spacecraft landers as if they were flimsy cardboard cartons. The sky is perpetually covered from pole to pole with clouds of sulfuric acid. The atmosphere is a choking mixture of carbon dioxide and sulfurous gases. Venus is the nearest planet to Earth, closer to us than Mars. At its nearest approach, it is slightly less than 65 million kilometers from Earth. It is closer to the Sun than Earth is. Venus is the second planet outward from the Sun, while Earth is the third. Venus has no moon. It is almost the same size as Earth, slightly smaller, so that the gravity at its surface is about 85% of Earth normal. There the similarities end. Venus is hot, with surface temperatures well above 450 degrees Celsius, nearly 900 degrees Fahrenheit. It rotates so slowly, that its day is longer than its year.